You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Emer Lamb. Emer is from Dublin and started rowing in 2012. Emer won a bronze medal in the women's fours at the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. She made history with Afric, Emily and Fiona in winning Irish rowing's first women's Olympic medal. Sit back and enjoy the show. Emer, thanks a million for joining me today. How's everything with you? Good?
Yeah, all good. Thanks a million for having me.
You two were just saying there you're qualified 2 weeks ago, was it, for the Olympics?
Yeah, we qualified there. It's called Last Chance for Goddess. So it's like the final Olympic qualification. So it's literally the final two spots. But yeah, we out in Lucerne, so we qualified there 2 weeks ago.
And you know the way you won in the, say, like, say in another competition like the fours, like the four of you that won before, is it guaranteed to have a boat in four in the next Olympics, or does it kind of vary?
No, it varies. So every Olympics, you have to qualify either at the World Championships the year before, and there's a certain quota of places. So for the women's four, you have to be within the top seven at the World Championships. And then there's always two places left then to qualify at the final Olympic qualification regatta, which would be only about 2 months out from the Olympics, which is where we qualified there. So yeah, no, all from scratch again.
No guarantee. So I suppose we'll go back just growing up as a child. What was your life like? Was rowing a big part of your life early on? I know you started later on, and was it around 2012 you kind of got into it?
Yeah, around then. So I'm actually the youngest of about four girls in my family. So I have three older sisters, and obviously really busy household. My mom was just putting us into absolutely everything that she could. And just by chance, we happened to live near some rowing clubs in Island Bridge. Like, my parents had never even heard of what rowing was. And they put my sisters into it and they loved it. And then once I was kind of old enough, around like 12 years old, 12 or 13, I think, yeah, I was allowed to go down and join the rowing club. And then, yeah, from then on, I pretty much took over most of my life and most of my decision making, I'd say, from that point.
I am just before my accident, about a month before, I'm down to actually try rowing, and the oars, I kept getting them stuck in the water every time I pushed. there was no hope I was getting into it. Do you know the way you said there, rowing, like in Ireland, it's kind of, I suppose, natural to go down the road of like GAA or football or hurling. Do you think that, I suppose, rowing in one way, it's not kind of blinkered out, but it's not like, when you're growing up, you don't say rowing would be something that you go into first. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's definitely not like a majority sport. Like I said, like, my parents hadn't even really heard of it. It wasn't something that any of my friends really did in school either. It was just by chance kind of that we went into it. And to be honest, it has definitely been growing though. Like, since Gary and Paul won the first Irish Olympic medal for rowing in the Rio 2016 Olympics, since then, like, the team's just been growing, and like more and more boats have been qualifying, like Olympics on Olympics. So yeah, even from then going down to the clubs, you could actually see so many more kids were like going down because they saw it on the TV and they wanted to know what it was about. So like, it's definitely growing, and it's definitely better known now than it was about 10 years ago. Yeah. But yeah, definitely wouldn't be in competition with the GA, let's say.
And you, the O'Donovan brothers, I never forget that interview they done. I think it was on RT after they won. They were just so chill. Do you think it's fair to say, like, when people saw the two of them, that interview, it kind of drew them to their personality, but to rowing in general in Ireland?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, yeah, I think they went viral with those interviews on Rio. And I think, yeah, people kind of wanted to know more about what it was about, and the way they talked about it as well, I think, drew a lot of interest into it. And yeah, like I said, like, the clubs, even in Dublin, were like packed out for the next like year or so of just like young boys and girls trying to join and wanting to do summer camps and, yeah, really taking an interest.
You went to UCD, I suppose, later on in college. Were you what were you like in school? Did you enjoy the academic side of it, or would you rather have been out of class?
Say as a bit of both. I think I definitely enjoyed academics when I started school, and then as I went on, I think I got more and more into rowing, and the more into rowing I got, probably the less interested I probably became in school, and kind of everything like worked around, like homework and everything was done around my training, even throughout school, and before I was even taking it that seriously, I just like really enjoyed it, so it was always kind of became a bit of a priority for me. But no, I always tried to have like some sort of a balance because I kind of knew that like I didn't know how far rowing would take me. I just knew that I liked it, and I always kind of wanted to make sure I had some sort of backup, I suppose, and in terms of career for afterwards.
Like you didn't know that you'd get, I suppose, to this point. Like it was kind of by chance, I suppose, that it was either going to work out or you'd get to where you are now. And like you didn't want to drop all the academic
Yeah,
side of things
exactly.
just in case. UCD, did you kind of apply to there? Do they have a, because I remember when I was doing a bit of research, UCD, do they have kind of like a rowing club there?
Yeah, they do. So on Island Bridge, which is like the river in Dublin where I used to train when I was junior, there was two universities, UCD and Trinity, that which also train there. They had their own boat clubs. So I think then going through school, I was like, okay, I either have to go to UCD or I have to go to Trinity, and there wasn't really anything else in between. And I think I always was drawn towards UCD because they've got a really good reputation for like sports and like helping athletes like balance sports and their academics. And also just the club seemed like really good fun. So yeah, I think my whole CAO, I think, was everything was UCD from like, I think it was like engineering to like jam making. Like I literally had every course and it was just UCD no matter what. So like was a bit of a raffle.
Not all UCD. So what's your
Yeah.
what's the I suppose there's different kind of categories in all sports that go to the Olympics. Like you've different, I suppose, obviously boxing weights and stuff, but when it comes to rowing, there's different kind of disciplines. Is there like there's the kind of fours and there's the singles. What do you want to explain what one you're what's your discipline? You're with the fours, are you?
Yeah, so it's the women's open weight four. So first of all, we're on there's lightweight and there's open weight. So open weight, you can weigh whatever you want. But lightweight for women, you have to be 57 kilos, and for men, I think it's either 60 or 62. So I'd be open weight, and then I'm in the women's four, which means we row one oar. So yeah, in rowing, there's sculling, which has two oars, one in each hand, and then there's sweep rowing, which is one oar. So the basics are kind of very similar, but then like as you go on in it, they do kind of differentiate. But you would find some athletes jump between the two a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go automatically into the forwards, or did you try kind of singles when you got into rowing first?
Yeah, I think I did most of my training in singles when I first joined. Because I think it's always like the quickest way to learn is like when you're on your own in a boat, you kind of don't have anyone else to be hiding behind or anything. So they'd always put juniors into singles just to do most of your training, and you can get quite fit in them as well because it's all on you to kind of keep that boat moving. And it wasn't then until I went to UCD that I started going into sweep rowing because that would be quite a big thing in college rowing. It'd be mostly sweep rowing for whatever reason. There's just a bit more of a history around like eights, which is like an eight person boat, in universities. Like it'd be the same, imagine it would like Oxford and Cambridge, they have a big boat race and they'd put a lot of priority onto that. So then yeah, when I started UCD, I got into sweep rowing then. And then my coach at the time kind of was like, look, there's opportunities in Rowing Ireland in sweep rowing at the moment more than there is in sculling. So I decided then to kind of specialize into that.
And when did you the girls that you won with, when did you kind of, I suppose, get to meet them first? Was it through college or was it kind of just when you got into in with the rowing in, say, Ireland?
I knew Emily from when I was junior. She rowed for Skibbereen in Cork, so we'd have gone, we're similar age, so we would have done a lot of trials and training camps when we were juniors together. And Afric and Fiona are just a little bit older, so they wouldn't, I didn't really cross paths with them until I moved down to Cork and started training with the squad full time. And then what they do is they kind of put different combinations together and different people together to try and figure out kind of which
Oh yeah,
combination works the best. And yeah.
that's how you got to meet them.
Yeah, that's how we all kind of came together then.
And when you say moving on now from say college, when did you I suppose get to start? Was it your first time rowing internationally in 2014? Was it?
Yeah.
No.
I think I did like in 2013, I think I did like a junior Europeans, like a little lower than Europeans. It wouldn't be all European countries. Would be in 2013, and I think I was quite young for that. We did terrible. I think we came dead last at it. And then yeah, the following year I actually went to the Youth Olympic Games, which was an amazing experience. I never even heard, most people have never even heard of the Youth Olympics, but it's a really cool program and experience, I think, for like younger athletes to kind of feel what it's like to
Never
be in the
heard of
Olympics.
the Youth Olympics.
Yeah, not many would have. I hadn't until I was told I was going. But it's an unbelievable program. Like, it's like having been to both now, like I can actually say it's quite similar to like the actual Senior Olympics. Like, you have the Olympic Village, you get the kit,
Really?
yeah, you get the works,
These are
and
all the
it's,
same sports then in the Seymour.
yeah, all the same sports now. In rowing, you could only go in the single, so it's a lot smaller scale. Like, they wind up every single event within every sport, but they do, I think, have most sports in it. And then it was, oh yeah, it was over in China, and I remember being absolutely terrified because I think I was about 16 going over, and we had to do a training camp in Hong Kong, and I was the only person I knew going over to it.
What was
But
that
yeah,
like? That
that's,
must have been a bit daunting, was it?
yeah, so daunting. I think I was lucky. There was a few swimmers that like kind of took me under their belt and said we could be like an aquatics team together between the rowing and the swimming. But yeah, no, hugely daunting, but like an amazing experience now that I look back on it. Like, I'm so glad that I did do it. And it definitely gave me a bit more confidence kind of going forward in rowing. And then also, I suppose, made the Olympics that a little bit more achievable as
Yeah.
a, like a younger junior. Like, it's very hard to think that that's something that you could do one day, or somewhere where you think your career could go. But I suppose being there and being at it, yeah, made it that little bit more of
And
a realistic
are they
dream.
still going on now in the Olympics every year?
Yeah, it's not every year, it's every 4 years as
4 years,
well.
sorry.
Yeah, but yeah,
Just
there
keep
was one
going.
event in Buenos Aires, I think, was the one after, and then I'm actually not sure where the last one was on, but yeah, no, they go on, and
Never,
there's a
I'm
Winter Youth
actually
Olympics as well.
never heard of it. Like I, you
Yeah,
hear what you hear,
you
but you don't.
do. No, you don't at all. And I remember because my parents actually went over to support me for it, and they just couldn't believe that like no one had heard of it, because you could just see like probably the amount of money as well that's gone into it. Like, there was a huge opening ceremony, a huge closing ceremony. Yeah, and it's just not something that's really seen, which
It's
is I
great
think
though,
quite
isn't
cool.
it? Kind of gets you
Yeah.
prepared, I suppose, for what's coming next, is it?
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a really good way as well to see like other sports and how different athletes train, like in different juniors, and you meet, like, I'm still friends with a lot of the people on the Team Ireland that I met back in 2014, and it's really cool being able to watch their career progress and like watch them like try and qualify for like Olympics as they go senior. But yeah, no.
In the Olympic Village when you were over in Tokyo, obviously it was kind of COVID around that time, so I'm going to ask you about that in a sec. But you know, did you kind of be friendly with other people from other countries that were rowing, or in general, like not even in Tokyo, I mean, say if you're over at some European competition, would you kind of get talking with someone, say, from Portugal or Spain? Like, do you kind of mix like that together?
Yeah, you want a bit, like maybe not necessarily right around in competition, but like the people that you're racing against, yeah, because you kind of are seeing them
Yeah.
regatta after regatta, different competitions, that like you do become like more comfortable with them, and then you like, I suppose, follow, it's like a benefit of social media, like you start to follow each other and you kind of follow each other's journey a bit, and then yeah, you'd get talking then at the different regattas. And then at the end of the World Championships, there's a big night out called World's
Oh,
Night,
really?
and all the athletes will go out together. So that's also a really great way to like get to know all the different athletes. Yeah.
And like you said, you were there about Hong Kong and you were only young when you went over there first for the training camp. What in sports in general, but even like say that bit you just said about, there's these sacrifices that you kind of have to go through for the likes of what you've done going over so young to get to where you are today. It's important. Do you think them sacrifices though, they're good in one way for, I suppose, your future?
Yeah, definitely. Like, I remember in school there'd be like certain school tours, or like I remember there was like a school trip to Italy or something, and I got picked for it, and I ended up having to turn that down because there was a national
Really?
trial on that weekend that I decided I wanted to do more. But I think at the time when you're doing something that you really enjoy, like, it never really feels like a sacrifice. Like, looking back, Yeah, there I've definitely like sacrificed like a lot of nights out, a lot of family events, holidays and things like that. But at the time, it just never really felt like a massive sacrifice because I think I was always just so focused on how much I enjoyed rowing, and I always kind of wanted to do the thing that was going to get me better at rowing. So it always just felt like an obvious choice, I think, the whole way along, rather than
Probably
a
feels
major
even better now
sacrifice.
looking back, does it?
Sorry?
Probably feels even better looking back now to say it did pay off.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, it's definitely a long journey, and like, yeah, I do feel very lucky that like I'm one of very probably a few athletes that can say that like all the sacrifices and all the like hard work really paid off, because I think that's definitely such a thing in sport that you really see the success of people, and it's like everyone always attributes it down to like, oh, they must have worked harder or they put more hours training in, when really there's just so much that has to align for to be successful in sport. Like you kind of need obviously to be at your peak on the day, but you also need to have had like the best coaches and the best teammates and the right support and around you to get to that point as well. So yeah,
Absolutely,
very
100%.
lucky.
And moving on to the Tokyo now and the Olympics. Before the we were just talking here before we went on air about down in Cork is kind of the main place, and you moved down just before the Olympics, did you? You were saying that was obviously another big move. What was that like, I suppose, when you moved down first away from, say, home?
Yeah, it was definitely tough because by the time I finished my degree in UCD, I was very much unsure if I wanted to kind of stop rowing or and just start a career. And I kind of had a graduate program lined up for that September that I was planning on starting. But that summer, I got selected for the Senior World Championships and we missed out on qualifying by about 2 places.
Really?
Yeah, so, and there was 2 places left up for grabs then, like the following May. So I was kind of like looking at it being like, oh, do I try and defer this for a year or do I just leave it off and just go and start my career, which is kind of probably what I felt like I wanted to do more at the time. But I remember kind of sitting down and being like, oh, this is once in a lifetime opportunity. Like I'm gonna regret it if I don't give it a go, and like my career I suppose can wait a little bit.
You'll
Like
always have
there's,
that degree for
yeah.
after
And I was like,
home, you know?
yeah, exactly. And I was like, and if they let me defer it for a year, which they did, I was like, then there's no harm. So yeah,
Nice.
they let me defer it, and yeah, I moved down to Cork in 2019, which was originally meant to be a year, and then, like you said, with COVID and everything, that quickly became 2 years into Tokyo. And yeah, it was very daunting. Like I hadn't set like a good friend group yet at that point. Moving down, I didn't really know a lot of the girls. It was a very competitive and intense environment when I first moved down. So like maybe not the most welcoming at the time to newcomers, because obviously it's just more competition coming in the door. Like no one, everyone was always a bit wary of it.
Yeah.
But luckily, I'd say that actually that culture's changed a little bit now, and it's a lot more welcoming. And everyone's kind of a bit more excited to kind of have a bigger team. Like there's a really good group of girls down there at the moment, and everyone enjoys kind of a fresh face into it.
And like you said,
Yeah.
the degree can wait till after rowing, and that's another important thing that we spoke about at the start that it was handy not to drop your academic side of things, that you have the degree now. Moving on to COVID before the Olympics. Obviously, when you moved down, I suppose COVID-19 happened. It would have been probably late 19, early 2020. What was
Yeah.
that? What was that like? Did you, I suppose, when everything was kind of shut down, there was obviously it was a mad time for everyone, but you, especially yourself after moving down from home. Did you was there a certain amount of time that you were away from training and out of the water, or did you do kind of indoor rowing on the machines, or how did that work?
Yeah, so yeah, when it was announced that like the country was basically going to be going into lockdown, we all took equipment basically from the rowing center, and like I think my dad came down with a big van to try and load up some rowing machines and a few weights and a bike and stuff as well. And I set up like a little makeshift kind of tent basically in my back garden with the equipment in it. And what we did was we kind of set up Zoom calls every morning. So like 8 o'clock in the morning, we'd all call each other to make sure kind of we were out of bed and find out what the plan was for that day. And then half an hour later, would go on the rowing machine and would like set up our laptops beside it so that way everyone could see us training and we could see everyone else training. And then in a way, kind of never felt like you were
You were
training on your
alone, I
own.
suppose, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like a little bit more motivation because, like, when you absolutely didn't want to do it, you'd be looking over and seeing all the girls slaving away at it that you're like, okay, I better get my ass into gear. So we did that, and that, I'm not sure how long, like 3 or 4 months. It must have been however long the lockdowns
About
were
that,
on
isn't it?
for. Yeah, it was about that, wasn't it? And yeah, we just basically trained in our gardens twice a day, every day on the rowing machine. But I think what was so lucky for us is that we actually hadn't qualified at that point. So
For
we
the
never,
Tokyo.
for the Tokyo Olympics, no, like we didn't even really know if it was going to be going ahead. Like a few
Yeah.
of us had actually like blocked off anything Olympics and put like a word ban on Twitter for the words Olympics because there was just so much speculation about it being banned or
Yeah.
not going ahead that we kind of just didn't really want to see it. But anyway, because we weren't qualified, we never really felt like we had the comfort to kind of step back on training
Yeah.
at all during lockdown. Which I think was such a blessing in disguise because even though it was an absolute grind and was quite miserable at sometimes, by the time we came out of lockdown, we'd done so many miles on the rowing machines that we were actually just so fit
Yeah.
that it made it really easy then to kind of transition back into training for however many months there were left then into the qualifiers.
Is there such thing, Emer, as obviously rowing like yourself out in the water, and now there's the indoor rowing. Is there such things like indoor rowing competitions?
Yeah, there actually is. There's like regional and there's like a national championships as well. And I think it's all sorts of distances, like 500 meters to 2 kilometers, which is like 2 kilometers
Really?
would be the standard race. Because we would do all our fitness testing on the indoor rowing machines and would do like a 2K test twice a year. We'd do longer distance ones in the winter as well, but the 2K would kind of be the main one to kind of gauge your fitness.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can do them at like the indoor championships and for Ireland, and there's also like a world indoor championships as well that some people do. Yeah,
I
I don't
suppose.
recommend it. It's a bit
No,
painful.
you've got to get out in the water.
Yeah, much better on the water.
I suppose moving to the Olympics now in Tokyo, that was obviously you're at different competitions over the years, European and around the world. You're so used to having, I suppose, halls or arenas of people in them. What was it like, I suppose, in Tokyo? Because I presume that like your parents and family couldn't go to watch when you got over to the Olympic Village. Obviously there were so many things online, like people posting up stuff. It's even looking back now, Emer, it's mad to think like where we were at the time, and especially for you over the other side of the world. What was it like without any, I suppose, fans from Ireland or family around?
Yeah, no, it's definitely strange. It's definitely a bit of getting used to, like all the competitions that year weren't allowed any spectators at all, so that was all very quiet. But because we were all obviously so nervous of kind of catching COVID, in the rowing competition, we actually went on camp really early, like 6 weeks or something, I think, before the Olympic Games. And I think because of that as well, like none of us had family around to be watching and supporting our races. We all kind of stepped into that role for each other.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other crews that were also like there was a good Team Ireland there. So yeah, even though like family and stuff weren't around, I think like all the support staff, all the coaches, everyone really kind of stepped up into that role to like really make such a fuss and make sure that we all knew that we were being supported, like when we crossed the finish line, like even though yeah, the cheers weren't that loud, you could still hear like the Irish like team cheering for us the whole time. So I think in that way it was actually quite nice. Like it was a very much like it made Team Ireland very much a family because we all really had to rely on each other. And like we were getting COVID tested every morning. So everyone had to be so careful not to be kind of talking to anybody
There must have
outside
been
or like
some fear about it, like, just, because if you
some
got it, you were
fear.
gone, weren't you?
Yeah, literally. I know there was in the men's fours, one guy in the Italian four, he the morning of his final, he tested positive and he was just
Sick,
straight
man.
away booted off to like a Japanese COVID camp where they were waking him
Medicine.
up like every 2 hours to check his temperature and like he couldn't even fly home, like he had to stay there for 2 weeks in total isolation. So yeah, the fear of God was in us that
Like
any
you
of us
say, something if it
would be caught
was
out.
a week before the first race, but like the morning of the final, that must have been.
Oh, awful. And then so they had a spare there that they like pulled up into it. And they actually went on to medal. So I don't know. I think they got a medal into him in the camp, but I'd say it
There's a bit
was
of
tough, a tough watch for
a
him.
bittersweet one, though.
Yeah, definitely.
When he won the medal, obviously that was huge. When you did win it, there was, what was that like? Because did you know the significance of it? Like there was, because when I was doing a bit of research, there was only four Irishwomen who won Olympic medals, and he made it eight, and I think Kelly Harrington made it nine or something like that.
Yeah.
Did you know that? But when you won it, or did you know like how many Irish women had won it already?
No, I actually had no idea. I think Afric did. And I think Afric said it to us once we went in, but no, I don't think I realized like the magnitude of it at all until we came in, I'd say after the race, like our coaches were crying, like our performance director were crying, and like these are like serious enough men that you wouldn't be seeing get emotional on a daily basis. And then like my phone was inundated, like I was getting messages from people with a similar last name for me from like America asking if we were related. No, I definitely don't think it's something I probably even to this day realize the whole magnitude of it. And coming home, like my road set up such a great homecoming for me, and the amount of people that were coming over just to like look at the medal or get a touch of the medal, and like you could really see how much it meant to those people. But I say only then I kind of realized that, yeah,
Nice,
it
I
was something
suppose, small
special.
girls as well, Emer, that were there at the homecoming, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, loads of small girls, small boys as well, all like even writing me letters telling me what sports they're gonna do.
That's lovely,
And
isn't it?
yeah, it really was. No, really, really was.
When you did come home from that, the RT Sports Awards, you were nominated, I think, for Team of the Year. What was that like? I think it was three other females teams were shortlisted. What was that like to be, I suppose, nominated for that? That was obviously another thing to check off, I suppose, the bucket list
Yeah.
nominated.
Yeah. No, it was really cool because I remember always watching the RTÉ Sports Awards when I was younger growing up and like looking at all the athletes and thinking they were absolutely incredible. And then, yeah, when we came home and saw that we were getting nominated as well, kind of put on the same level as like a lot of sporting idols that I'd always looked up to. Yeah, it was very cool.
Great to be in the room like you watch on TV, like you said.
No,
You know,
perfect.
when you are in the race, Emer, how aware are you of the boats on either side of you? Because obviously they're close enough, and like, is there somebody on the boat that's, I suppose, on the back or front that's kind of shouting instructions or like guiding?
Yeah, a little bit. So, yeah, in rowing, like the main thing when you're in a team boat is that you stay really in sync and synchronized with each other,
Yeah.
because it just makes the boat faster. So, you really try not to like look out or get distracted too much during the race. But myself and Afric, we'd be at towards the back of the boat, so we'd probably have a better view of the field.
Yeah.
So, what we'd do is Afric, because she also steers the boat, would like kind of shout what position we were in. And then kind of based off that, then I would make a call, like either technically or tactically, on what we should do to like respond to
Yeah.
that. So that way, like we all kind of have an idea during the race without everybody kind of having a look and kind of losing like the rhythm that we have set for ourselves.
I suppose that's the kind of thing that you don't see on TV, people kind of shouting the like the tactics and steering the boat, so you don't.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't at all. Like, the whole boat is steered off like two wires that are connected to like Afric's shoe. And basically, if
Bad,
she
isn't it?
points her toe, yeah, if she points her toe in any direction, like left or right at all, like even a small bit, the whole boat will start to veer. It affects the balance. Like, even in Tokyo, there was cases where in the sprint, as people started to die, like people would come out of their lane and like completely lose control of the steering. So yeah, there is, yeah, a lot more to it than I think what meets
You
the eye
get
when you first have
penalized
a
for
look.
that if you do go out your lane.
Yeah, if you go near anyone else, you can get disqualified for it.
Really?
Yeah.
Completely out of the race.
If it interferes with another crew, then yeah, you would. Now, luckily, it doesn't happen too often, but I think the Olympics is just another playing field that, like, I think everything and anything can happen there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there was a few cases of that. But obviously not on purpose because it doesn't really help the speed of the boat when you leave your lane.
No. What's the I suppose obviously the physical side of of things like we just talked about, the training and that side of things. What's the other side of it like? Because obviously you said there's kind of two different weight classes, and I suppose anybody at the pinnacle of sports, like at the Olympics, is I suppose nutrition and diet, is that very important as well for you as an athlete?
Yeah, hugely important, and definitely something that took a good bit of time to kind of get to grips with. Like when I first moved in, I think on a whole in sport, like there is such a perception that you need to be quite lean, and like you need to be making kind of almost counting your calories when you're in sport. And when I first moved in, I think I was quite lean, and it wasn't too long then that I actually started getting stress fractures in my ribs, because I wasn't aware, I'd say, of how much fuel I needed for the training I was doing, and I just wasn't fueling my body for what I was asking it to do. So from that injury, I learned like quite a lot that, like, basically with the amount of training and stuff we're doing, we kind of need to be hitting close to 4,000 calories each day. And yeah, so like our nutritionist would always be like, there's no such thing as a bad calorie. Like, she's like, if you're going to bed, if you have to eat a big bag of crisps and like a tub of Ben and Jerry's before bed, you do it. Like, she's like, it's better to be eating the bad stuff than not eating enough when you're trying to like make up for the mileage and stuff that we're doing. Like, I know one of the guys on the men's team, like they have to hit close to 6,000, I think, on the heavier days. And he wouldn't go to bed. He'd be exhausted on the couch, and he like won't go to bed until he's finished his like 1/2 liter of ice cream just to make sure he's fueled. Yeah, it's totally different to what people think. Like, I know when I go home, everyone expects me to be eating like, I don't know, really lean chicken and salads and stuff, but I'm not
Lettuce
like,
and rabbit food.
yeah, basically. And I'm like, no, I need like two pizzas, and I need it all.
I'd automatically think that you have to eat like salads and no ketchup or stuff like that.
Yeah, like everyone just assumes straight away that, yeah, you'd be on like a very low sugar, like lean diet. But no, it's definitely about hitting the calories and just making sure you're getting the food into you.
Have you been lucky enough, through your career so far with injuries?
I've been a bit up and down. I have been prone to like stress fractures in my ribs a little bit, just from probably my style of rowing, the way I load it, and then also like whenever I get run down or not on top of my nutrition, it would always kind of be the first thing to go for me. And last year as well, I think I actually got like a few back spasms in my back, which put me out for a bit. But luckily, nothing overly long term, touch wood for now. But I think it's just kind of comes along with the sport. Like, you learn from every injury you get, kind of what, if you let something slide when you're doing the mileage and the hours that we're doing each day and each week, something gives pretty quickly. So it's almost a way to keep you on your toes, I guess.
You must get loads of blisters on your hands, do you?
Oh, yeah, my hands are like
They
leather
must
now.
be like from the oars, like they must be.
Yeah, especially if you take any time off at all, or if you're out with an injury and you go back to it. Yeah, the blisters would be something else. You'd be like shampooing your hair at your fingertips. But luckily, they've hardened up.
Last one before we finish, Eimear. I was looking forward now to the 2024 Olympics. Obviously, massively exciting. Your place booked, and I suppose now it's full on training from now on. From now on, you've been doing with the last couple of months, obviously, but it must be really exciting. And I suppose it's getting more exciting cl the closer it comes. And Paris as well. It's only not even 2 hours on the plane, like compared to Tokyo on the other side of the world altogether. It must be really exciting, is it?
Yeah, so exciting. And I think because we've only finally booked our tickets about 2 weeks ago, we've only really been able to let ourselves get excited now in the last few weeks. But yeah, no, it's all coming very real. And even once I qualified, I had friends messaging me being like, thank God, because I booked tickets about a year ago, banking that you're going to be there. So yeah, it took me, I'd say, a totally different experience from Tokyo, and that like it seems like there's going to be a real Irish contingent out there to support as well, which would be so nice. And yeah, no, it's an exciting few weeks ahead of us.
And I think the Irish fans are different to everyone. I think in any
Yeah.
sport, aren't they?
Definitely, yeah, fans, like no other. Like, they might not be the biggest crowd, but yeah, they always make the most noise.
The most noise. What date are they kicking off the Olympics this year?
The
Or what month are they?
20s July, end of July. So I
End of
think
July.
around the 27th, I think is kind of rowing's the first event. And I think our racing starts around the 27th. So yeah, around then,
Only
26th or so,
9 or 10 weeks
they'll
away, is it?
Yeah, like 8 weeks, I think, actually. Eight or
Mad,
nine,
isn't it,
yeah.
I think?
Yeah, no, it'll go in quick.
Looking forward to
Definitely.
it, and best of luck to yourself and the girls and everybody else on the team, and thanks a million for coming on tonight, Emer. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no bother. Thanks so much for having me.
Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show, and I appreciate you tuning in as always. A massive thanks to Emer for coming on tonight and sharing her own story with me. It's great to see how she got into rowing and all the achievements she's and all the success she's have had so far. It's brilliant, and she's a credit to Ireland sport herself and the other athletes and the other girls that she rows with that she won the bronze medal with in Tokyo. It's a great opportunity for her to get the story out, and I'm delighted to be able to speak to her tonight. And I've no doubt that herself and the girls will do an amazing job when they're over in Paris in the 2024 Paris Olympic Games. They're going to do amazing, and they'll do the whole country of Ireland proud. If you have any suggestions, questions, or requests for next week's show, you can get in contact with me through my Instagram, enoconnell321. I'm on Twitter at enoconnell00, or you can drop me an email on my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. I hope you all had a great week so far. Stay tuned in here to Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Shaz. I'll be back at the same time next week from 8 to 9 p.m. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.
You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.